The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. Our lines are now open. Call Natalie Cheel and Rick Munn now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Morning, everyone. It is Thursday, the 1st of June, 2023. This is Open Line on TNT Radio. I am Natalie Cheel, but there is no Rick Munn this morning for the next hour. He did make the flight from Ireland to Bristol, you'll be pleased to hear, but he is helping Mike Ryan this morning set up all the equipment for our little studio to be broadcasting out to you tomorrow from Bath, from the Better Way Conference. And you don't want to miss that one tomorrow. It should be a great show with lots of laughs, as we'll all be in the same room for a change. Dee Dee Denslow will be there as well tomorrow, and he'll be joining me shortly as well, and staying for the next hour to keep me company, running through some very interesting stories. The UK government is cracking down on vapes for kids. Biden has given a warning to Uganda, and the Home Office is threatening to strike over Rwanda plans, and more if we have time to cover this morning. We would love to hear your thoughts. The lines will be open in about 15 minutes, or you can access our online chat on tntradio.live. It is always entertaining. I've had a quick look at the news headlines this morning for my sins, but the Schofield saga finally seems to be dying down somewhat. The stories are making it further down the headlines, so not so dominant. So you never know, we might be clear of it soon for a few days at least. But there were another few stories worth a mention this morning that did make me chuckle. Harry and Meghan. This, you'd think this was good news, are finally going to stop writing books, making documentaries and sitting down for interviews to bash the royal family, claim insiders, because there's nothing left to say. Oh, if only we could be so lucky, eh? I'm afraid the mainstream media will always find a story to cover about the royal family, so we won't be escaping the Harry and Meghan saga that easily, I'm afraid. But another one, this is good. This made me chuckle on GB News. Delicious coffee may not be available in 50 years' time, apparently. This is all because of climate change and changing temperatures. And this is the best bit. They've told us it's at risk of becoming extinct. So there you are. So you've got to be a good boy or a good girl and make sure you follow all the climate agenda if you want to keep drinking your coffee, I believe, is the message. I thought you'd all enjoy that one. Darren's got a story about AI this morning, and normally he sends me through some notes, but he wanted to let me hear it live on air this morning. So I'm just as intrigued as you are. So get ready for that. And we'll take a quick breather to introduce Mr. Denslow after we come back here at TNT Radio.
Real political talk.
Party politics is killing our government.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Morning, Darren. How are yous?
Hi. I'm very well, Natalie. Apparently, I'm running hot today on Comrex, so I don't know if I'm really sounding really shouty. It's a technical problem. It's not because I'm shouty and deaf in one ear. And I do have an AI story to tell you. And I didn't want to share the link with you because if you read it, it sort of ruins. It's not a surprise, but it is a good story. It's an interesting one, and I'll quickly run it off. So many of you may have heard, and this story's been actually in and out of the news over the last few months this year, about how artificial intelligence could lead to extinction. AI could lead to the extinction of humanity, experts, including the heads of OpenAI and Google DeepMind, have warned. Dozens have supported a statement published on a webpage at the Center for AI Safety. Mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority, along other societal scale risks such as pandemics and nuclear war. but others say fears are overblown. Sam Altman, chief executive of ChatGPT maker OpenAI, and Demis Hassabis, chief exec of Google DeepMind. And there's another guy called Dario Amo. I'm getting there. You know, I'm building up the tension here, Natalie. Dario Amodi of Anthropic have all supported the statement. The Center for AI Safety website suggests a number of possible disaster scenarios. And this is my punchline. And this story's on the BBC. Yeah, this is from the BBC. So just wait for it. I'll do this bit slowly. All right, so these are the four scenarios in which they envisage, as published on the BBC, maybe we'll have an extinction-level type event because of AI. AIs could be weaponized, for example, drug discovery tools to be used to build chemical or biological weapons. Hasn't that already happened? I think that's already happened. AI-generated misinformation could destabilize society and undermine collective decision-making, okay, reported by the BBC. The power of AI could become increasingly concentrated in fewer and fewer hands. The three experts that they're talking about here are the three experts that have concentrated all the power in the AI. I mean, I can't believe people are reading this and not and going, oh, God, these things might happen. The power of AI can be concentrated in fewer and fewer hands, enabling regimes to enforce narrow values through pervasive surveillance and oppressive censorship. And then finally, enfeeblement. Quite like that word, new word for the day, enfeeblement. Where humans become dependent on AI, similar to the scenario portrayed in the film WALL-E. And I'm not going to read the rest of the article, Natalie, but this was published in the BBC. And when I read it, I thought, I mean, they're telling us what's happened. This is like all these things are almost in past tense.
Well, I was about to say, I've noticed, because every day on this show, in order for research, we have to go and have a look at the headlines. And I've noticed that it's the BBC that have got more AI articles than anyone else. And they're the ones that are always pointing out Elon Musk and his connection to the AI. And it seems to me, you know, where I will go back with Bill Gates when he had that famous TED talk about vaccines before the COVID vaccine had even been released. And obviously it was, we need to depopulate the earth. There's too many people on it and we can do it by vaccines. It seems to me a little bit like they're telling us, you know, it's hidden in plain sight. They're telling us what AI is going to do, are they not? That article not only has some of it happened already, but it's literally telling anyone who wants to see it exactly what they plan to do moving forward, right?
Absolutely. I mean, these, you know, could AIs be weaponized, for example, drug discovery tools? The COVID vaccine was generated using data from China. It was put into an AI, one of these sort of wonderful 3D biological printers, and out popped the vaccine. AI developed that. They did it in hours as well. They were really happy. We developed this vaccine in hours using AI. Misinformation.
Yeah.
Yeah, misinformation. I mean, now we've got a problem, and I'm sure you and Rick have discussed it, or I and Rick have discussed it. The AI imagery and videos that are now being generated and put out there. I saw one of Trump groping some young lad the other day. I knew it was generated AI because I was told so. However, this technology, deepfakes and that, is indistinguishable from real photographs.
I've seen a couple recently. There was some photos being going around Twitter of Elon Musk and robots. Did you see that one? And people were trying to claim that Elon Musk had said that it's the future will be marrying robots. But the problem is why people were sharing it. It's the photos. Indistinguishable. Basically, it was Elon Musk kind of like dancing with a robot and like having dinner with one, right? And people were thinking that he'd taken these photos, sat in one of his, Neuralink studios or something. Because not being funny, if you looked at that photo, you wouldn't be able to tell any difference. And there are other ones, and this is where it's more scary because we talked about this on the show. I mean, Jeffro on the online chat pointed that out yesterday. there were photos where, in terms of paedophilia, there were photos that I saw on Twitter of older men sat with younger women, like children on their lap, and people were saying, this is disgusting, they need to be called out. And then other people luckily saying, hold on, stop it, this is AI. These aren't real photos. You can't just now look at a photo online and presume a crime has been committed, can you, Darren? Because how do we know anymore if it's a real photo or if it's being used, you know, and done by ChatGPT or however it's been done? I mean, I'm not very good at technology, but I mean, they're undistinguishable, some of them, aren't they?
Yeah, and you know, the problem that we're gonna have, you know, we've got BBC Verify have just put their Verify team together. We're gonna have imagery, videos, even AI generated news stories that are completely false. We talked about ChatGPT earlier, yeah. That was just creating cases up for that fooled a lawyer of 30 years. He got disbarred because of its use. But my point is, we won't be able to distinguish what's real and what's not real. And then we are going to have people like BBC Verify, who may not convince us what they're telling us is real, but out in the general public, to the layman, they're going to have to rely on these sole sources like BBC Verify, because there will be no way the individual can distinguish between the fake and the real. And I saw the Donald Trump, he was getting off with somebody. It looked real. Could this type of imagery and videos in the future be used as compromise against politicians, elite personnel, or people like me and you? Yeah, we need to shut Natalie down on TNT. She's saying stuff we don't like. It's dissent. We want it. We're gonna compromise
Make
her with fake videos. Exactly.
Yeah. I was going to say, Darren, because I'm not great at technology. I know you're a lot better than me. I've never used this ChatGPT or whatever it is. I wondered if you could explain a little bit how, because you said that you've tried it. I mean, what do you actually do? I mean, when I say completely ignorant, sure, I mean, sure. I've read about it. Is it an app?
Just Google
it. Can you just go online?
Yeah, you just,
and it's,
I've got it on one of my bookmarks. I don't get me wrong. I'm not a tech guy. Well, I understand what's going on with it. It's able to instantly search the internet and create answers of any type.
So
ChatGPT, right? Yeah, you just go on it. And I think it's now got full internet access. Before, it only went out to 2021. Now it's got the full internet access. You can ask it any question. You can ask it to do anything, right? I want you to write me a 50,000 word dissertation on any subject. It will do it. And if it was done before people knew about ChatGPT, you would have got a distinction. I mean, it is amazing. They're using it for coding.
So
can you write me a computer program? Boom.
Will students be able to use that then and cheat for that reason, do you think?
I think in the future there'll be no way of avoiding that. And so it's all about how good you are at prompting. And they have said that. They don't need human beings anymore. They need a small, select few number of people who can prompt the right response from the technology, who can ask the correct questions and give the correct instructions. And that's what we're probably going to be changed into in the future. We'll just be people who tell the machines to do something. Don't get me wrong, ChatGPT is super, super impressive, super scary, and if you're not careful, massively, massively woked up.
And this then makes sense. When you talk about AI in this sense and the capabilities, the whole 15-minute cities and staying at home and the lack of jobs make more sense in the bigger agenda. Because, of course, if our AI then are capable of doing all dissertations and there's not really any need for education in the same sense moving forward, and they can take away most jobs, of course, then it makes sense people sitting away in their little flat or in their little home in their 15-minute city with no real need to go out. And, you know, the AIs will be bringing you food. They'll already be working it out, won't they? They'll see what you've already ordered online and they'll do it for you. That the food will be delivered without any problem. So, you know, and the BBC, as you rightly put, are telling us. That article was, it's not even just a warning, is it? It's literally telling us what's to come for the future.
And what you were just saying about, sorry, what you were just telling us about employment, that's the enfeeblement aspect of the danger of AI, where humans become dependent on AI, similar to the scenario portrayed in the film WALL-E, where you just got this fat lump on a hovercraft and a pipe that's got, you know, slurpees going into her, and she's stupid and fat and needs instant gratification for her lack of concentration.
Yeah.
That's the humans of the future. And this technology, we were just talking about ChatGPT, you know, that's developing at such rate. That technology alone will replace all white-collar jobs, all of them. There isn't an exception.
And that's the idea.
And then we've got robotics. That's going to replace all the blue-collar jobs. You just need people to give instructions. And we may get to the point where we have an AI, an AGI, which is even more worrying. That's super intelligence with a conscience almost, its own independent decision-making abilities. We may find that we just have a load of chat GPTs and an AGI, and they don't need humans. The elites can just live on their little paradises, and the rest of us have been vaccinated to death by a vaccine developed by AI. So that's where we are now.
And I like to try and talk about solutions as well, rather than like just like this idea of an AI kind of doom mongering future. I think, what can we do to maybe stop that, or at least stop it happening so fast? For me, it's, as we so often say on this show, getting out in the real world, you know, as much as we possibly can. Do, you know, trying, you know, don't use those self-service checkouts. Don't order everything online if you can. Still use cash. Still go out and go to normal shops. You know, it's going to be hard to stop this kind of plan coming into effect, but we can still go do those things, can't we, Darren?
Yeah, but the problem is, in the same breath, from a corporate point of view, why would you have 100 humans when you can have one ChatGPT that does it instantly? What a human being, 100 humans might take 3 months. A ChatGPT does it instantly if you ask the right question.
Wow.
It's amazing. You should go and play with it. Yeah, it might be recording your info, but don't worry. Every little word and mutterance that comes out of your mouth, Natalie, is now being recorded.
It's already recorded on my smartphone anyway, isn't it? Let's be honest. Exactly. It's not going to make any difference.
I would go and have a play. Ask it what a woman is. I broke it when I did it last time.
Oh, did you?
It didn't want to tell me. It doesn't want to tell you what a woman is. You have to really, really get into the nitty gritty.
Okay. So that's a challenge for anyone listening as well. So go play on ChatGPT, and if you can get it and win and try and find out what a woman is. We've got to take a short break, and then when we be back, we're going to talk about free vapes for kids in the UK here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan.
You went in there fresh-faced, ready to make a difference in these child's lives. Now, of course, they're not there as coming from well-adjusted backgrounds of having been parented well, having been treated well, etc., etc., etc. These kids are coming in there with often train wrecks of histories. How soon did you see what was at play there, and give us some examples?
Within a month or so, I think I started to come to the realisation that something was really, really wrong, and that was because I started receiving numerous disclosures from the detainees, the children in our care, about abuse of varying kinds, emotional, physical and sexual abuse occurring. I suppose that took me down a path of learning to what extent that is and has been, and indeed the extent of the cover-up of that offending and that abuse that has been going on, from my understanding now, for decades.
McBride and Brennan, with David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan on TNT Radio. Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future.
Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702 or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
You're with Natalie Cheel and Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yep, lines are now open. Yep, the online chat is busy. Jack Guzzler Cliffy says, they won't need anything. All life will be under threat. Then nature will sort it out. And Craigo from Bath says, can we stop it? Or are the machines in control already? It's not the real world, but the old world that we want. I can't really disagree with that. I liked, when I was a teenager, there were no mobile phones. Well, they were just about coming out, but they weren't smartphones. And, you know, when you came home from school, you could just chill. You know, you didn't have that kind of thing where people could get hold of you at all hours and you could actually shut off properly. Do you miss that time, Darren?
Oh, I do. I mean, I missed the night. I was just there reminiscing of the 90s. I was thinking about my t-shirts, yeah, because I've got my selection of Stussy t-shirts just for Rick.
Yeah,
today.
I remember them.
And I wear Stussy t-shirts because I'm still stuck in the 90s and I long for the days when we weren't reliant on mobile phones. And, you know, you made arrangements with your friends. You'd meet on the street corner or at a selected place and you might not have spoken to them all week, but that plan stood. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And you'd use the phone box to arrange it all one day in a week. You'd do it. Yeah, I miss that. The world was much tighter. There was no racism. There was none of this division and hatred that we're experiencing now. So I long for better days.
We had a place outside Marks and Spencer. Always it was outside Marks and Spencer in Reading. And it was that time, like you said, you'd say, we'd meet there at 1 o'clock on a Saturday. And you'd have to wait for half an hour or 45 minutes. And only then, if they didn't turn up, you'd have to go, oh, well, I don't think they're coming. I'll have to go home. No checking on the mobile phone. It was a much simpler, easier way of life. But this is a good story. And I wanted to get your opinions on this one, because we haven't been talking about it a lot, seeing that we think about the vaccines and how much damage they can do. Vapes, I wanted to get your opinion on it anyway, because we did a story, me and Rick, this week on Australia and how that they've really, you know, they were pushing the vapes to start with as a quitting tool for smoking. And now they've cut right back. You're only going to be able to have them on prescription. There's loads of other restrictions on them too. And now we're seeing it now with the UK government as well. So they were massively pushing vaping as a quitting tool. They've actually given out free starter kits, Darren. And obviously they're full of chemicals. So I have not heard your opinion on this one. So yeah, what do you think about the old vaping situation?
I'm a smoker. I'm not a big fan of tobacco. I'm addicted to tobacco, or nicotine, should I say. I would never go to vapes. They've had no real safety testing or trials, just like the vaccines. They were pushed onto society as a method. This is going to make you quit smoking. Nah.
Yeah.
These are products that ultimately are probably owned by big tobacco who have looked at smoking and gone, this is a really antisocial habit. It stinks. It's dirty. People don't like it. Girls think you taste like an ashtray, all those sorts of things. And then, so here is a nice mint version or a bubblegum flavor version or whatever version. This is safe, but it's highly addictive. And I've had friends who've tried to give up smoking, and now all they do is walk around 24/7 with a vape in their hand, and they are smoking this highly addictive product. And not only that, kids are going, oh, this is safe, it's not smoking, it's cool, and it tastes like bubble gum. And so it's definitely directed at them. I see you trying to I've got more to add.
Yeah, we've got very similar opinions on it. My feeling is that when the government push anything, and I know you'll agree here, then you've got to question it and you've got to worry why. Vapes were pushed across the globe as this answer to smoking, something healthy, when really just like the vaccines, we've got absolutely no long-term data on it. And in my opinion, I'd be feeling, I'm not a smoker, I've got many vices, smoking's not one of them, but if I was to choose and take one up, it would certainly be normal smoking, it would never be vapes. We don't know anything about the chemicals in vapes and what the long-term usage is on those. And like you said, this comes as recent figures from the NHS for 2021 showed that 9%, this is a high percentage, Darren, and that's the ones they know about, 9% of 11 to 15-year-olds use e-cigarettes, up from 6% in 2018. That is only getting bigger. Most of my friends who've got teenagers are all vaping. It's a massive problem and an addiction. Was that yes, they're now putting things in place, like they're saying, increased education in school and keeping illegal vapes out of them, and rules now over sale over nicotine-free vapes in the shops. But the damage has already been done, Darren, yeah, from the government. Most of these teenagers are already addictive. They're seen, unfortunately, as something cool to do, even more so than smoking. Was that what they intended? Try to get it out and then pull back? Maybe the same kind of model as the vaccine, push the vaccine as much as possible and in years to come? Because we're talking to where it's already been out 10 years. Is it going to be another 10 years before they do the same with the vaccine and then say it's bad? You know, is that the model they're using here?
That's the model they usually used. I mean, cigarettes were originally pushed by doctors as I'm your local doctor and I smoke 40 Camel a day. And they used to have adverts like that. You know, I mean, they used to push lobotomies as a, hey, this is going to be great for your wife's mental health. We'll just stick a needle in her eye and a lobotomizer.
Yeah.
And now we've got you know, and this vape, I suspect vaping is going to end up being far more widespread than the original smoking. So there's going to be massive amounts of profit in there. These products are really cheap. The chemicals they're using are really cheap. They are they're types of glycerines and other what we call sort of viscous solvents. These can't be good for you. I don't care what they say. They can't be good for you. I lived with a nurse for a couple of years. She said that they were first seeing they were starting to see their first cases of popcorn lung or cauliflower lung, and it was believed to be related to the vaping. And just a little quickly on the NHS stuff, because I know we've got to go to a news break. I have a friend. She's a 40-a-day smoker. She works in a vape shop. She contracts with the NHS, and they're pushing it through these commercial enterprises to get people on vapes as a healthy option compared to smoking. I say this is quite concerning, and it might be that Big Pharma is also, I said Big Tobacco earlier, but Big Pharma may also be heavily involved in this, and it's just another money-making opportunity they can use for our NHS.
We are completely on the same page, because I was literally going to say, is this not the Big Pharma model that we're seeing? Push something out to get recurrent customers forever. They literally, you know, they're getting behind the vape, knowing it's going to have long-term consequences, and who's going to pick up the pieces, Darren? Good old Big Pharma, yet again. They're setting themselves up for the perfect financial business model. But we do have to take a quick break for the headlines, and we'll be back talking about Biden and Uganda when we're back here at TNT Radio.
TNT Radio News. Bring the news.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. American companies getting into bed with transgender activists are losing billions of dollars in market value as consumers band together to boycott the brands. Serbia's military has issued a warning over growing violence in the breakaway region of Kosovo, vowing a harsh response if ethnic Albanian authorities start killing or displacing Serbs in the Serb-majority area. And Russia's top diplomat claims the West's role in Ukraine is tantamount to supporting genocide.
The conversation continues with Rick Munn and Natalie Cheel on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yep, we're back and lines are open. Craig O'Barr says, name your vices, Natalie. Too many. too many to say. But unfortunately, I have quite a past of drugs, alcohol, sex, you name it. But there we go.
Sex isn't a vice.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But I'm a better girl now. I'm a good girl. Well, I still drink, but just, girl. just Yeah, just not quite in the same way that I used to. But yeah, moving on swiftly. Biden warns Uganda may face sanctions if anti-gay law is not repealed. Oh, the US threatening more sanctions again. So yeah, President Biden on Monday called for the immediate repeal of Uganda's severe new anti-gay law and warned he may impose sanctions and other penalties in response. For those of you that don't know, Ugandan president signed legislation on Monday that Human Rights Watch notes criminalizes merely identifying as LGBTQ and imposes severe punishments for violations related to same-sex relations, including the possibilities of the death penalty. So what do you think about Biden warning of more restrictions and penalizations on another country then, Darren?
I almost predicted this probably about
you
6
did.
Months ago when they discovered $12 trillion worth of gold in the ground in Uganda. I thought, I think Uganda's in prime position for a bit of American democracy, because that $12 trillion worth of gold will be very valuable in clearing their debt and supporting their military ambitions, because at the moment, everything's on tick. So, there's that side of it. I mean, Biden isn't saying anything, but the woke cult behind him that drives the teleprompter, the people who write the teleprompter, the woke nutters, they're telling him to say this. And again, it's actually quite a worrying sign. You know, Uganda are entitled to do whatever they want. To be fair, they're an independent country. I don't agree that people should be penalized for identifying anyway. Even transgenderism, if people choose to identify that way, yep, that's up to them. But if Uganda as a country decide, no, we don't want any of that, and this is something that the public within Uganda support, then what business is of the USA? You know, so there is that argument as well. And it almost certainly doesn't warrant bomb dropping or putting the country under siege with sanctions just because they disagree with the woke cult. Unfortunately, I will disagree with anything that the woke cult says within reason. I think they're the most dangerous element on the planet.
Yeah, comes for a change. Me and Darren are agreeing on everything today.
Oh, we agree on most things, Natalie.
Yeah, we do. But yeah, I was going to say very similar, really, if we want kind of the freedom which we're looking for, each country should be able to do what they want. Now, yeah, otherwise, if you do this, for instance, Biden says we've got to go in because we don't agree with this law, where does it stop, Darren? Does that mean that the US has got the responsibility or the duty to go through every law in every country and then go invade and then say we're not going to do business with you? Is that what we want? We want like a country's type cancel culture. You know, do as we say, otherwise we won't ever, be your friend. Is that how we want life to be? You know, agree with me or we'll fall out. You know, it seems to be woke agenda. That is it, isn't it? You know, there is only one right. There is only one wrong. And you have to follow exactly what I say. This isn't where we want to be going. This is from his statement. Biden says the dangers posed by this democratic backsliding are a threat to everyone residing in Uganda, including US government personnel, the staff, or our implementing partners, tourists, members of the business community. They're almost saying, or using the scapegoat of US personnel in Uganda in order to use their excuse possibly to go in and do exactly what they want within the country. That's how I read it.
The Americans, the USA, are morality. They're in no position to cast their morals or moral aspersions on anyone. Yeah, they can't be the arbiters of morality when they are literally the number one warmonger, disruptor, and most amoral country on the planet. You just look up goes on in Vegas. That tells you everything you need to know about the USA. But the more worrying aspect of it is they come along with a big stick and they say, You must align with the morality of the USA, or we hit you with our big stick. I mean, that's sort of what's going on with Russia right now. Ooh, Russia, you're this, you know, Christian conservative country. We want you to change the sex of all your men to women, and if you don't, we're going to blow you up. I find, and I'm using that as sort of in a metaphoric way. It's a bit more detailed than that, obviously, but it's quite scary that there is a woke cult in the USA, in their administration, writing the teleprompter and also threatening countries like Uganda who don't agree with them. And, you know, Uganda is obviously, like most of Africa, and they're just going to stick up the middle finger. And then America comes along with the big stick.
Yeah. And, Jack Guzler-Cliff, he said Uganda can do trade with the BRICS nations anyway. Of course they can. The other way to look at it as a real conspiracy theory, when this story first came up, I remember me and Rick saying, oh, look, that's rather handy, that story, make it, you know, actually the law being put into place when America want to come into that country, like almost like it's been set up to do exactly that. At this point, you never know. You know, you get to a point now with geopolitical situations where there are so many deals made behind closed doors, and what you're seeing actually put out to the press isn't necessarily the real story, is it? So, you know, we'll no doubt there's going to be more on this story moving forward. And as we said, there's more and more stories on Africa, isn't there, generally, at the moment? That's where it's the big place.
There, Africa is going to be the next sort of continent where there's going to be focus on, particularly by the major powers, because it's so resource rich. And Uganda's got 12 trillion worth of gold in the ground. And we want that. I want that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we're going to see more and more of these stories. And another one here, Rwanda. We can't stop hearing about Rwanda, can we? Another African country. And this just made me laugh. Another one to chuckle. All these strikes happening at the moment, and now the Home Office staff could strike if forced to implement unlawful Rwanda asylum plan. So we've got the situation here now, Darren, where apparently if you're working for a company and you don't like what the company does, you can just say, no, I don't agree with you anymore. I refuse to go to work. Is that a good? Yeah, but they're not going to, are they?
Yeah, and I suspect, I mean, I've heard people who come back who either work in Border Force or the Coast Guard, or people who know people who work in the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard can't get staff. People are leaving because of what they're doing with the immigrants in the channel.
Really?
And it's got to the point where there are Coast Guard staff now and Border Force saying, no, we can't do this. And so they're actually
because it's immoral, basically, yeah.
Yeah, and now the problem they've got is because they're understaffed, they can't deal with these people who are coming in and they're just flooding in now. And they're replacing the staff probably with people who are immigrants or who really, really agree with, this multi-ethnic society that they're trying to develop.
Yeah.
So I suspect, this sort of, sorry, Nally.
I was just about to say.
You go.
No, I was going to say, I didn't really believe this story much because obviously, you know, the Rwanda plan to me never looked like they wanted to make it go ahead anyway. It was just, you know, one of those that they put out in the media to make it look like they're trying to do something about the immigration problem when they had no real intention of ever seeing it through and making Suella Braverman the villain and the scapegoat. Because when you even listen, Home Office staff will not sit back and take the Rwanda deal and this new small boats bill and may strike if forced to implement measures. I'm sorry, but, you know, if as we went through this deal, that deal's not even that bad. You know, sending people over to Rwanda, they'll have a roof over their head, they'll be fed. You know, can you actually see people in the Home Office being as upset as this article seems to suggest? It seems to be just another push by the government to try and make out and make an excuse as to why this Rwanda deal's never going to go ahead, really. I don't think anybody's really threatened to strike, I doubt, do you?
No. Yeah, maybe at the very highest levels where there's a lot of wokeness, you know, in the management and director level in the Home Office and political level of the Home Office. But on the ground, I suspect many people are unhappy bringing in thousands and thousands of people into the country because they're ending up in their communities.
Yes.
And the Renault deal was a joke. Yeah. Wouldn't it be just cheaper just to not let them in? Just don't let them in. Yeah. You don't have to send them back then. Yeah. You don't have to get a plane to send them all the way to Rwanda of all places. Yeah. Why would you want to send them back to Rwanda? Just send them back to France.
Yeah. It says that there was widespread unrest inside the Home Office over Suella Braverman's admission that a bill may violate human rights in March, and the UN Refugees Agency warning that the plans are a clear breach of international law. Well, even reading that, I doubt the Home Office staff. The way they're saying that, that sounds more like something that comes out of ChatGPT. It's hardly the Home Office staff sitting there going, I am extremely concerned about international law in terms of Rwanda, or are they really going to be sat at home and being more concerned about their own communities, Darren, and actually frightened about the immigration problem? Because this is basically making out like it's almost like coming from the government, which it probably has, this story.
This is almost certainly coming from the government and a very select few people. And we can see actually that this article is being reported in The Independent, which, The Guardian and like many of the other media outlets in the UK are extremely, extremely woke. What's going to happen to the actual migrants that are coming into the UK and coming into Ireland? Nothing. I don't think there is any intention of their curbing immigration into this country. It would take the public to really literally do a poll tax job for a couple of evenings. Maybe then they will change their minds. But I am a firm believer that, unfortunately, Natalie, we are being replaced. There is a plan for that, for us to be replaced. They need good prompters, but they need obedient prompters. And unfortunately, people like me and you are always going to be dissenters. And therefore, we're no longer required in this new technological future they're developing.
We're not compliant enough. And my kind of view of their short-term plan was always, it's very obvious that Suella Braverman has been put there to basically be used as a scapegoat. So to stay there as long as possible till the immigration problem collapses. So then she can be sacked and it'd be blamed on her. So that is 100% what they're doing for the time being. After she's gone, obviously, they'll have to readdress it. But for the time being, the old villain Braverman will carry on being in our news headlines. We've got to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about another African nation here. And it's Nigeria and bank cards with national ID here at TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
One of the more repulsive things that has happened with the climate change issue is seeing all these people come out of the woodwork who do not love the weather for the weather's sake. They only love the weather when they can use it for their own purpose. And their purpose has nothing to do with the weather. It has to do with the political agenda. So another classic shows up. Back on May 9th, a friend of mine alerted me to the idea that we were predicting it to be very cold in India. And the reason we were looking in India was because we were also studying the cyclone. Remember how we were predicting the big cyclone to develop, right? So we were looking at the whole weather pattern in there. And he alerted me to the fact that it was a record-breaking month for applicants to climb Mount Everest, which was a pretty unaware thing to do, given how cold it was. So we let people know, right? So we've had 17 people tragically die up on Mount Everest trying to scale that. And what does the Guardian do? They blame climate change. And this is exactly what goes on, folks. They had no idea what was going to be happening with the weather, but as soon as it happens, and it's not because of climate change, they blame climate change. This agenda is one of deception, distortion, and delusion. And the examples are coming fast and furious because of the fact that there's a big offensive on the way now because they realize people are waking up to the whole scam. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to put that stuff aside and enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The lack of civilian access to working group meetings on the WHO pandemic treaty is a concern. Another is the degree to which the World Health Organization will no longer be making recommendations to member countries, but dictating to them. Astrid Stuckelberger, a scientist at the Institute of Global Health of the Faculty of Medicine of the University of Geneva, and former employee of WHO, said in March 2021 that the 194 member countries are not voting on whether they agree on the pandemic treaty. Instead, they are legally bound to concede to its framework. This delegation, put together to draft the pandemic treaty, has been embedded in the constitution of WHO and is immediately approved by 194 member states, regardless of whether they adopt its principles. This delegation is legally binding according to the international health regulations.
The choice is between normal,
Natalie Cheel,
or crazy,
Rick Munn, on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, welcome back. Lines are still open. And we've got that story from Nigeria. Banking and identity are converging in Nigeria, where the government has told commercial banks to start issuing debit cards that can also serve as a national ID document. The Nigerian Minister of Communications and Digital Economy said the change is in response to increased demand for identity cards. Since 2007, it has been mandatory for Nigerian citizens to have a national identity number. Physical ID cards are optional, and a mobile ID card is available through an app. But he said, especially in rural communities, people prefer physical cards. That's a nice excuse to start making it more digitalized, isn't it? And we talk about the Western world, but you know, CBDCs and the push for digital ID. But here it's happening already in Nigeria, isn't it, Darren?
Yeah, and they the banks are trying to withdraw or make a limit the amount of physical cash that's available as well, in order to try and push the digital ID and digital currency narrative. And the Nigerians haven't been having it, but now they're getting the bank, you know, the banks are really involved, and you can actually a bank is permitted to print the card along with either a MasterCard or Visa card. So when you apply for a card at your bank, this is in Nigeria, you can indicate that you want this card to serve multiple purposes, where it'll serve as a bank card, but also a national identity card. And then we could fast forward 3 or 4 years, and it will serve as your bank card, your national identity card, your national insurance card, your global credit card. I could go on all the different everything. Absolutely, yeah. Everything. And it's interesting that they're using Nigeria and other sort of what we would consider poorer countries with poorer people in it as the test beds for these types of technologies. And actually, Bill Gates is heavily involved in some of these African countries pushing. And so was Epstein. So was Jeffrey Epstein, funnily enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein was very heavily involved in developing national ID and digital ID technologies and CBDCs. I suspect Epstein was involved in all of the COVID stuff and everything that's happened since. Maybe it's one of the reasons why he was executed in his prison cell.
Yes.
But yeah, he was using young people out there, and he was data mining off lots of children in particular for the development of these types of technologies. And no doubt Nigeria was one of those places, Natalie.
Yeah, and I got the same impression as you. You know, they use certain nations to test and trial ideas, don't they? And that seems that they're starting to do that here with Nigeria. It says also early this month, the central bank announced that any bank accounts not linked to a biometric bank verification number would be shut down within 30 days as well. So, you know, it's all heading towards the same direction. I also saw, and it would be worth covering soon, how Jamaica, and again, which you would normally see as a kind of a poorer nation, I saw that they are pushing CDBCs more than any other country. It seems that the Jamaican, whether you call him prime minister, president, whoever he is, I saw videos of him coming out saying, yeah, we're going to be basically the first. We're going to be changing this over possibly the first nation for a full CDBC, and I don't think the Jamaicans will have any control over it, Darren.
And they're unable to push back, which is why they're being done in those countries. And guess which one? Some of the countries that Epstein went in, Caribbean countries, Jamaica was one of them. Virgin Islands, which is where we've got all those court cases that are coming up with Google and stuff. So Epstein was in there. And again, it was all about data mining and pushing these digital identification projects. Yeah, they're so poor they can't push back. And not only that, the rest of the world won't care, because, like, you know, in England, we'll just be like, ah, it's just Nigeria, you know, it's just Jamaica. And I don't mean that or feel that, but that is the sort of general sentiment that people will have. It's Jamaicans there, did you? It'll never happen here. It'll never happen here. It's just people pay no attention to it.
From a business model perspective and making money, it's exactly that. Try it out on poorer people. They're not going to have a chance. And it's a teething issues idea as well. So, you know, anytime any big business involves and does something new, there are always teething issues. So why not try it in a poorer, cheaper country where the teething issues aren't going to cost us anywhere near as much money, are they, Darren? If there are problems in Jamaica's CDBC, they'll make sure Jamaica gets it wrong first so we don't have to. Isn't that the plan?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's, they can iron all those sort of problems out with a population that might not as be easy to control. It'll be easy to get them onto the digital ID, but they're very sort of transient in nature. They move around where the work is and stuff. So there's lots of data to be able to collect, but it's easy to go to a Nigerian or a Jamaican from one of the slums and say, hey, here's £100. What you got to do is accept all in one bank card. It's got your national ID on it as well. And they're going to take it. Of course they are. And there it begins. And that could easily just spread from one country to another in Africa. And then and maybe it might do good for the Africans. Yeah. The Jamaicans. It might help develop their society. Yeah. And then the rest of the world starts to adopt these measures. We know it's coming. Yeah. I think the digital ID stuff is something that none of us are going to be able to escape in the future.
I think it will be very, very hard to stand up to. You know, we will obviously try our best. But, you know, especially that's why they're doing these things. That, you know, they're going to start with countries like Nigeria and Jamaica. And we know when then they want to sell it to us, they can then turn around and say, look at these countries. Look how, you know, economically better they're doing, you know, and how many people will take that, won't they, in this country. If they see that it's worked really well, they'll sit there compliant and say, wow, what a great idea, and you're giving me this deal as well. They'll be running to the bank, Darren. They'll be running to get their national ID and their digital ID cards. We've probably got one more story before we have to go today. 200 cows in Ireland to be culled in order to meet climate targets. We are seeing too much of this complete and utter hypocrisy that is supposed to be environmental in terms of obviously the environmental temperatures for climate change. But then they're literally telling us it's completely okay to go and kill 200,000 cows in Ireland. But it's not even, from what I can tell, 200,000 to go and use as meat or to you know, in terms of productivity. No, they're just going to go and slaughter and murder them in order to meet targets. So internal documents reveal that a €200 budget is needed to cull 65,000 cows every year for 3 years to meet climate goals. What do you make of that, Darren?
It's so nice. And it's the ultimate in gaslighting as well, isn't it? You know, let's kill nature to save nature. Let's, you know, they did it in my city. They cut down trees for climate change. They've done it in other places. Yeah. And what they're not telling you is that they're relying on the lack of sort of basic scientific savvy of the population. Because, you know, cows eat grass. Grass needs CO2 out of the atmosphere in order to grow. The cows eat that. The cows then produce methane and CO2, which goes back into, it's just part of the carbon cycle. Yep. There is no net pollution from cows. And to prove that, back in the 16th century, I think CO2's levels were lower than they are now. Not much, but they were. But there were more bison and buffalo in the USA then there is cows now. There was never a climate change problem back then. You know, exactly. In fact, we killed them all, by the way. We killed all those buffalo and bison. Yeah, this is because they don't want you eating meat. This is what it's about.
Because you said the same thing. It just makes me laugh. They're basically saying we need to kill 200,000 cows because of their farts. They're literally trying to make out that cows farting is going to kill the planet. We need to just go murder them all because we're scared of their farts. So please make sure that you don't go and eat any cows. You know, don't eat any meat, because that's going to be far better for the environment than going murdering livestock. And yeah, exactly what it is. They just want to control our food. It's more about control again. And we saw that one about the coffee and coffee going extinct. These articles, what we're saying here at TNT, everything you have to take with a large pinch of salt, don't you, Darren?
Yeah. And, you know, I had a giant steak last night. I expect I'll be having another giant steak tonight. I'm making sure I get as much beef and as much coffee as I can into my system before they take it away from me, because they want to take away everything that's good for us. And, you know, and on a serious point about meat, yeah, human beings' brain size grew and developed. We actually became smart animals, if you believe the evolutionary story of our past. And again, I take that with a pinch of salt. But you can't take away from the fact that eating meat made us strong and smart and tool makers. Yeah. And give us the meat is what's made us the human beings we are today. You only got to go and have a look at some of the green-haired vegans running around who don't know what sex they are, and then you understand. That's because they're eating all this processed stuff that they're making in labs. Like the fish is the latest one. They managed to develop artificial fish. These things are just going to be they're going to feed into population control, eating food like
absolutely that. So, you know, our advice here is go and eat as much meat as possible. Yes, it makes you a better critical thinker, but we will be back tomorrow here, and we won't be here, we'll be in Bath together, all for a good laugh. So make sure you don't miss that show, and stay on for the next hour for Locked and Loaded.